Let's begin today by looking at three verses. Romans 1, verse 6 and 7. Let me read it. Among whom you are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Notice, the called of Jesus Christ, beloved of God. Then in Jude, verse 1, because it only has one chapter, it says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. I like that. The called, beloved in God, and kept for Jesus Christ. And then in Revelation 17, verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful. And I want us to focus in on this phrase, the called, because we are the called. And by the way, there are many other verses, of course. We are the called in Christ Jesus. But what does that mean? Many Christians haven't the slightest idea what their calling means. What is involved? Or what to do about it? So let's pray. And Lord, we ask right now this morning that You would give us understanding, spiritual understanding of this very, very important truth. So Lord, we just want to lay aside all distractions. Lord, we ask that we'd be able to focus in on what You want to speak to us this morning. Amen. Okay, God is in the business of calling people or appointing people for some specific purpose or mission. In fact, all through the Scriptures, we see God calling people. Noah, he received a call. It was basically, hey, listen, Noah, there's going to be a flood. I want you to build an ark. This is what it needs to look like. This is the size of it, because I'm going to bring a flood. That was a call. Abraham received a call. Basically, it was leave your father's land and go to a new land. In fact, he says, to the land that I'll show you. And there I'm going to make a people. And your descendants are going to become a blessing to all the families and nations of the earth. Moses, he was in the wilderness and he sees this burning fire. He goes, what's going on there? And all of a sudden he hears a voice, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. And God calls Moses. He says, listen, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh. And this is the message that I have for Pharaoh, and I want you to deliver it. Gideon, I want you to deliver my people from the Midianites. And of course, Moses, Gideon, a lot of them kind of had objection. Oh, but I'm too young. You know, I can't speak. I'm the least of my family. David, you are to be king over Israel. And later, that was even added upon. You know, one of your descendants is going to take the throne forever and have a kingdom that lasts forever. Of course, Jesus. And each time, God reaches down and calls a person. And the person responds. Response is very important. Many other examples. Isaiah. In fact, why don't we kind of take a look? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. That was the call. God calls, and Isaiah responds. Jeremiah, in chapter 1, we can see the verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. The disciples of Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 18, or starting in verse 18. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they are fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee his father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So Jesus calling people, "Follow me." And then they responded. In fact, both cases here it says, immediately they left their nets or their boat and started following him. Paul, in Acts 26. And he's looking back at the time that he received his call. Verse 15. You know, he's talking about, you know, he was talking about on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he sees this light and it blinds him. And all of a sudden, you know, he hears his voice, "Saul, Saul." And then in verse 15 it says, "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you.'" And then he goes on just talking about how I'm sending you to the Gentiles, that they might turn from darkness and turn to light. And the thing is, there's many other examples in the scriptures. And throughout church history, God calls men and women. By the way, he calls women. He called Mary, Esther, Ruth, Lydia. But here's the point. God is in the business of calling or appointing people. Now, in one sense, we've all been called to follow Jesus, haven't we? That's the beginning. But it's just the beginning. So let's talk a little bit about our calling, because this is something that applies to all of us. The initial call goes out to many people. And the initial call is follow Jesus, be his disciple, receive the gift of eternal life. Some respond, some don't, right? Matthew 22, there is the parable of the marriage feast. The king, of course, we know it's a parable, it's speaking about Jesus and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But anyway, this king has a marriage feast for his son, and he sends his servants out to invite many people. And in verse 4, he says, well, actually, he sends them out, and a lot of people are unwilling to come. Verse 4, again, he sent out other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." That was the call. And but we know the story. Many people started making excuses. And so he says, "Go on the highways and byways. Compel them to come in." And then verse 14, he says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." So the call goes out to everybody, but not everyone responds. And today, many people hear his voice. They sense God has something for them. Perhaps it's a destiny. It's a call. But do all respond as the disciples of Jesus did? No, they don't. Same thing. Right now, in the last 15, 20 years, God has been giving dreams to Muslims. I mean, all around the world, in different languages. He comes to Muslims in a dream. There's a good friend of mine, I've mentioned him before, George Husni, down in Boulder. And about 5 or 6 years ago, he had been keeping record. He had interviewed over 1,000 Muslims who had had dreams. And he said, it's amazing because almost all of them, there's differences, but all of them, Jesus appears. There's always some type of big light. He's always in white. And he always says something like, follow me. But do all those Muslims respond? No. However, in this case, many of them do, but not all of them do. So the initial calling, our primary calling, is to a life of discipleship. And we've talked about that in our discipleship groups, haven't we? It's a calling to Christ. Now, sometimes I hear people who don't even know the Lord, yeah, I think God's kind of given me a gift. He's given me a call to play the piano. And obviously that person has a gift for piano. But the calling, the principal calling that God calls us is to a life of discipleship, to follow Him, to be a part of His eternal kingdom and have eternal life. That is the primary calling. And now, those who respond are now called the called, the beloved, the chosen. Something else about His call is it's really something of a revelation. Revelation is something that God speaks. He opens our eyes. It may be a truth that we've heard many times before, but all of a sudden we hear it again, and it's like, oh, I see it now. In fact, many people probably heard, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins, da 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 da. But then one day, all of a sudden, we see it. That's called revelation. Aha, I see it. He opens our eyes. We see what we didn't see before. And when we begin to hear His call, when we say, Lord, is that You? All of a sudden, He enlightens that. It becomes alive supernaturally. Many times, if I'm talking to someone who maybe is in the midst of trying to decide whether or not they're going to become a Christian or not, I'll say, do you hear Him calling? And they'll say, what should I be hearing Him say? Well, it might be something like, follow me, live for me. And then they respond with a step of faith by saying yes, don't they? You don't hear this too much, but back when I was a teenager, maybe in my 20s, when I'd be talking to someone, there's a common expression. You may have heard it. Somebody will say, yeah, I feel like the man upstairs is trying to say something to me. And what they're really trying to do, you know, they're uncomfortable kind of saying, I think God's speaking to me. But so they just call on the man upstairs. But they recognize that, hey, someone's trying to get my attention. That's the beginning of a call. And as we respond and perk up our ears, God illuminates that. He makes it alive. But we still have to respond. Now, we don't always understand everything at the beginning, do we? But neither did Moses. When Moses said, okay, I'll go to Pharaoh, he had no idea what he was getting into. No idea. Or when Noah responded, okay, build an ark, okay, I guess I can do that. No idea what was going to happen. Or Jeremiah, or the disciples, none of the Abraham, when he responded, had no idea what God was going to do. But we step out in faith. God, I sense you're calling me, and so I step out and I follow you. Now, another thing about our calling, usually that initial calling is expanded upon as we are faithful to that initial call. The initial call is foundational. It is the important one. It's rooted in the truth of the scriptures. But usually, that call gets more specific. It could be specific in a lot of things. It could be a call to a commitment, or called to a mission, or to a certain focus, or called to a church, called to a people, called to a particular message. Peter, you know, there after God had already called him, you know, amplified it and said, I want to make you fishers of men. Okay. A little bit later, what did he do? In John 21, he says, feed my sheep. That was a more specific calling, wasn't it? You know, there are people who I've known have been, after they walked in the Lord a little bit, they felt a call to maybe evangelism, or maybe to intercession, or to the ministry of giving. Yeah, Lord, I feel like you're supposed to make me a giver beyond what I can even imagine. Now, each of these we have to respond to. In one sense, we feel, if we get married, we feel a call to a wife or a husband. And by the way, that is why it's so important, those of you who are single, that you do not fall in love or get emotionally entangled with someone who is not also part of the called. Because you're going to be called together. And you're going to be called to serve with him or serve with her. That's part of it. Sometimes it's called to a mission or to a ministry. I remember it was December 30th, 1973. When I felt a call from the Lord, I was at a conference in Urbana, Illinois, and I felt like the Lord said, Mike, I want you to be involved in full-time ministry. Now, I didn't become full-time for several more years, but that was something I felt a call for. Sometimes people feel a call to be a teacher or to be worship, you know, to be involved in worship. We really should feel some sense of call to a local church. Hopefully you feel called to Emmanuel Fellowship. You know, if not, you need to find out where you are called to. Sometimes we feel called to a people, maybe to the youth, or maybe to handicapped children. Or remember several years ago, Jonathan and Elaine were here from France. Elaine's grandfather in 1950 felt a call to the gypsies of Europe. And by the time he died, 55 years later, they were over a million gypsies that come to know the Lord. It could be you feel a call to Native Americans or Jews. People receive different calls. And it's different for everyone. Sometimes they're seasonal. Like, I feel called to be a Sunday school teacher and really serve. Sometimes it's called to a particular message. The prophets in the Old Testament. I've called you and this is the message you're supposed to give. I felt like several years ago the Lord kind of told me that part of my calling is to be able to preach and teach the unfathomable riches of Christ. But, and here's the thing. These things do not happen until he sees we're faithful with the initial call. Often I've heard people kind of say, yeah, I believe that God's called me to do something kind of really miraculous or something, or, you know, or really big. I said, well, yeah, that's okay, but I'm kind of thinking, but I haven't seen any evidence of your call to discipleship. Yeah. Now, sometimes God does call us to some of the more specific things when he calls us initially. But it will not happen until you're faithful with your call to discipleship. I kind of envision it this way. Our big call is like a big gift that God gives us, because it is a big, awesome thing. And then as we get into that and explore that gift, then he's going to add a few other things to us as we are faithful. But if we just kind of keep that gift, just say, well, that's a pretty gift. I'm just going to keep it right here and I'm going to mind my own business, and you'll never receive these other more specific callings. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. God expands our sphere, our spiritual responsibilities, and our calling as we are faithful. That's a spiritual principle. Okay, a couple other things. God calls children and youth as well. In fact, many godly workers and leaders in his kingdom began hearing his call when they were children. Remember Sasha? She was here about a month ago. She was, 8, 9 years old when all of a sudden she felt like God was calling her to Russia. 20 years later, she goes to Russia. But as a children, and we need to be really sensitive to when God is calling children, even sometimes young. He does that. One example in the scriptures is found in 1 Samuel, chapter 3. And the story is Samuel. Remember, he was the son of Hannah. Hannah takes him to live with Eli, the prophet, or the priest. And Samuel was lived with him, with Eli, you know, even at a small age. And one night, Eli went to bed. Next room, Samuel was in there, and he hears someone say, "Samuel." So he goes in there. Master, did you, did you say something to him? No, I didn't. You must have just been dreaming. Go back to sleep. So he goes back, hears it again. Goes back. Did you call me? I'm sure I heard my name, Samuel. Happened a second time. Happens a third time. And then Eli, let me kind of read, 7 and 8. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And he gives instructions. He says, "Listen, next time you hear it, say, 'I'm here, Lord, speak to me.'" And that's exactly what happens. So God calls people of all ages. Something else. God empowers those whom he calls. Now, this is important. He doesn't call us and then leave it to us to try to figure out how to make it work. He empowers us for everything for which he calls us. It's one of the reasons he gave the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now, sometimes that empowering it's a process. Because God is, in the meantime, he's teaching us about trust, faithfulness, having the right motivations, walking in agape love. So it's not always immediate. An example in the scriptures, Joseph in the Old Testament. Probably all of us remember the story. God calls Joseph through a series of dreams when he was a boy, right? Now, he didn't always have the right motivations. He didn't have the wisdom. So he's kind of boasting to his brothers, "Hey, this is what I saw in my dream. One day you guys are going to be bowing down to me." And God's probably kind of thinking, no, that's not what I really meant. But what happens is that his brothers get jealous. They get upset. They sell him as a slave. He's taken to Egypt. Has to kind of learn a new culture, new language. He begins to serve, and he's faithful. That's the key to Potiphar, his owner. And pretty soon, Potiphar makes him in charge of everything. And then you know the story. He gets accused of something he didn't do, you know, of flirting with his wife, or actually not just flirting, kind of attacking her. And he gets thrown in jail. I mean, he went basically 17 years Joseph went before he was made at the right hand of Pharaoh. And then it was another 3 or 4 years before he sees his brother. So basically 20 years later before those dreams started coming true. And God, in the process, he was doing something in Joseph. And Joseph responded in a good way. Something else, God provides the finances, the gifts, the resources for all that he calls us to do. So there's no need to worry. I mean, just think about it. If you were called to be in the army and called to fight some battle, would you be worried, what am I going to do? I mean, I don't even have a rifle. I don't have any equipment. I don't have a uniform. I don't have any boots. You wouldn't worry, would you? Because the person who called you, Uncle Sam, you know, he's going to give you the gun and the boots and the uniform and everything you need, right? You know that. You don't have to say, I don't have anything. I can't play this game. I can't do this. I can't be a soldier. No, because when we are called, we know that God will provide everything that's needed. If he calls you to Uganda, then he's going to train you. He's going to put you in the right team. He's going to get you there. He's going to provide for you. He's going to do everything. Now, again, it may not happen the next day. There may be a process like Joseph. But he always provides and takes care of us and gives us the gifts that are needed. You know, Moses, one of his objections, I don't know how to speak. And God says, I will give you the words. I don't know. And finally he says, okay, listen, I'll let your brother go with you. And that happened for the first few months. And then Moses learned that God had gifted him to do it. Okay, one other thing. With our calling, we can expect opposition from the kingdom of darkness in everything that we're called. Did Abraham have opposition? Of course he did. Did the disciples have opposition? Of course they did. Did Paul have opposition? Of course. I mean, just read 2 Corinthians 11, 20 through 28. He talks about being beaten and shipwrecked. We won't kind of go there, but there's a lot of things that happen. So just because there's opposition or resistance, don't think, well, I must not be called. No. If you hear his voice and respond and say, yes, Lord, here I am, you then become one of the called. We're in a war. If we're advancing with the kingdom of God, there will be opposition. Okay. In conclusion, why is this so important that we know for sure that we're called? First, it will give us confidence or security to be who God's called us to. If God, Almighty God, has called me, then it wasn't my decision, it was his decision. And does God make mistakes? No. We can have a confidence. Also, if we know we're called, we have a sense of purpose in life. After all, God, the creator of the entire universe, has called me. And I feel like, okay, you know, if he has called me, I do have a purpose. And I'm not just kind of wandering around life. I wonder what my life is supposed to be. No, if you're called, you know what your life should be about. It's to serve as the disciple. And as you're faithful in that, he's going to start giving specific things to you. Another reason it's important is because I can have confidence that He will give me everything I need to do in His work. He'll give me all the resources, the finances, and He will empower me. He'll give me the gifts. And finally, I think the realization of our calling releases faith within us. It keeps us moving forward. It keeps me focused. I don't get distracted or sidetracked by the things of this world because I realize God Almighty has given me a holy, precious calling. The God of the universe. First is to be a disciple. And then, as I'm faithful in that, He's going to start adding things. He always does. So it's important that we know that we're called. And it shouldn't be some, I know He kind of wanted me to kind of follow Him. No, it's more than that. It's a calling. That's the word the Scriptures use. It's a calling by God. Is to be taken seriously. Do you know that you're called? And if we had time, could you tell me to what you're called? You know, stand up and say, I know I'm called because, and I'm called to this and this and this. And also, since I've kind of given my life to Him and I'm serving Him, He's also beginning to add to things. By the way, if you have children, that's a calling because the Scriptures say children are a gift from God. God has given you a child or two childs or two children or, you know, whatever for a season, and that's a calling that you have as mothers and fathers. That's a pretty holy calling. We are blessed with calling. And we need to realize that. We need to see the awesomeness of it all. And not just casually. You know, if the king or the president, you know, called us up and wanted us to do something, we wouldn't kind of think, oh yeah, the king gave me a call a couple weeks ago or a few years ago and he did want me to do something. What was that? No, we would take it seriously, wouldn't it? Well, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He has called you. And my understanding is probably most people here have responded. If you haven't responded, that's your first step. Say, Lord, here I am. I accept Your calling. I hear You. Now you might say, but I'm not sure if I've heard Him. Ask Him, Lord, are You speaking to me? He'll make it clear. He'll make it clear, especially that initial calling. And as you're faithful, these other things will be added to it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You for, Lord, that You didn't just create us, but Lord, You've called us for a holy purpose. Lord, we can't even get our mind around that, that You, the creator of the entire universe, the one that keeps everything going, that You've taken the time, You've singled us out individually and have called us. Lord, let us see the holiness of that, the preciousness of it, the awesomeness of that. And Lord, let us respond. And Lord, as we respond, Lord, let it fill us with confidence and faith to do the things that You've called us to here in this earth. Lord, deliver us from just kind of walking through life, not even really kind of knowing what we're doing. Lord, we have a purpose. And let us see Your calling in so much of our life. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.